everyone. Welcome to A Quick Shot of Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Becky.
I am super excited to talk to you about this book. There are reasons I love it. There were some frustrations that I had.
Yes.
So it'll be interesting to talk about this all out with you. I feel like this is one we have to kind of talk out.
Yeah, I agree.
There's a lot to unpack in this
novel. There was a lot packed into this book.
So on this episode of A Quick Shot of Romance, we are reviewing At First Spite by Olivia Dade. This is book one in the Harlot Bay series. And I have to say, I was really pleasantly surprised by this because I honestly just, the last two in the Hollywood series were just okay for me.
And I only read the first one in that series.
You only read, spoiler alert?
Yes.
Okay. So I had read them all, and I would say that my favorite is absolutely spoiler alert. The second one was okay, and the third one, that they were lovers to friends. It was, I don't know, and a slow-ass burn. You know how I feel about those. But we're doing At First Spite, which is a new series, and I'm kind of excited about Harlot Bay and this world that she's built.
Yes, it is. It's a lot of fun. Like,
there's some great characters.
There are. And the town itself is a really good character, I think.
Absolutely. So we'll link the synopsis of the book on our on-the-shelf show notes at buzzingaboutromance.com. Release date is February 13th of 2024. This is Neighbor's Ex's Brother, Forbidden, Small Town, Nerdy Heroine. They're rivals to lovers, almost enemies to lovers. But I don't feel there was enough history.
Yeah, I would agree for them to be true enemies.
I think the idea of her is what made him dislike her.
Yes, not actually her as a person.
So close proximity, plus size heroine, virgin hero.
Yeah.
Rom-com.
Okay, so is this really a rom-com? Because it was heavy.
It was really heavy. There are some funny, quirky moments.
Okay, I just didn't know, like, what level, like, the funny, quirky has to happen to call it a rom-com.
So this is one of those where I feel like Olivia Dade, it's classified a rom-com, so I call it a rom-com if, you know, we look at it. But it really is just straight contemporary romance.
Yeah.
But there are quirky moments. There are quirky, funny side characters. You had the lesbian couple that were funny. And the brother is kind of a doofus, like that kind of clown.
Too stupid to live, kind of, yeah.
Yeah, clown character. You know, you're right, because there are a lot of heavy, as I sit here and look down a little bit, to the content warnings.
Yeah.
So the series is Harlot Bay. This is book one. It is a series of standalones. It's written in third person. Put out percentage was 72%. But there is a scene earlier.
Which one?
Well, I guess not. I guess not. Because it's the audiobook.
Oh, yeah. Because they're not actually
together.
Like in the presence
of each other.
I mean, I guess. Yeah.
There's a spicy audiobook scene. Yes. I'll just leave it at that. Audio narrator is Joy Nash. I did not listen to this audio.
I didn't either.
Content warning, depression, grief, loss of a younger brother, off page and in the past. Is the loss of the younger brother. Yeah. There is a third act breakup. Olivia Dade does like miscommunication and third act breakups.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I'd only read the one other one so
Yeah.
far.
So this book is a trad pub book. It is available everywhere. If you are going to check this out, you might check your library system before
Yes.
you go off buying the ebook. It is not yet in Hoopla. I looked.
Oh no, okay. It's
Not
still
yet.
pretty early release,
It is.
so.
It is. Okay. So let's talk about the premise of this book because there's a really fun concept. But before we get to the fun concept, we have to talk about the basics of the book. Our
Sure.
heroine's name is Athena. At the beginning of the book, the prologue, she is engaged to Matthew's younger brother.
Yes, and he's also younger than Athena,
Yes.
right? Okay.
Yep. She's older. Athena's kind of a lost in motion person. She's not aimless, but currently she's teaching in Virginia. But because she's engaged and getting married, she has left her teaching position and is moving to Harlot's Bay. And she does not have another position lined up yet when she
No, and
moves.
I think it's because she and Johnny talk about him letting her figure out what she wants to do after they get married because he's a pediatrician, so he plans to support her.
Yeah. But we quickly learn, so Johnny's older brother Matthew, Dr. Matthew Vine the third,
The third.
is actually the one that keeps Johnny moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, and basically is his parental like person and supports him.
Yeah. Johnny needs a keeper. Like
Yes, he does.
he's fresh out of medical school, he's going into practice with his brother. Like everything is rainbow and sunshine and no reality. And come to find
Yeah.
out, Matthew has been footing the bill and taking care of everything.
Yeah, he's paying for his student loans. He helped him with the house that he inherited.
Yeah.
It just a whole slew of things.
Matthew is a completely self-sacrificing character.
He is.
Everything he does for other people. And okay, we'll come back to that because I don't want to talk about that just
Okay.
yet. Athena, she's kind of aimless, lost in translation, doesn't know what she wants to do. I loved her though, because like I loved how when someone would say something or tell her an interesting fact, her immediate thought is to go Google it and she gets lost in Google.
Yes, and same. And they call it, she calls it Professor Google,
Yeah.
which I love because, I mean, I think we all have a little bit of that in us. It's like that's our quick reference, like that's our encyclopedia these days.
For sure.
So, yeah, I think that was very relatable.
And she finds rabbit holes after rabbit holes after she reads a wiki. She clicks on another link and is reading another wiki and clicking on another link. And I've been that person.
Yeah, I think we all have.
So the setup of the book is right before the wedding, Athena has already quit her job. She has packed all her things. Like she's moving to Harlot's Bay and getting married within a week.
Yeah,
And
it's close.
Johnny calls off the wedding at Matthew's insistence.
Basically, I don't want to say how he gets him to do it because I think is that spoilery?
Probably spoiler, because it does
Okay,
play
then I'll be
into the
quiet.
third act.
Yeah, okay, yes.
But we find out very quickly that Athena has bought a spite house.
Yes, which is attached to Johnny's house.
Right. So there's like this town in Harlot's Bay, which I believe is in Delaware, right?
Yeah, I think Delaware or Maryland, one of those.
Yeah. So the way it is set up, it sounds like it's a town of townhouses, like lots of row houses.
Yes.
And Johnny owns this one row house that he inherited. And attached to it is a spite house, which is a 10-foot wide house that runs the entire length of the townhouse and is 3 floors, right?
It's four.
Is it 4 floors?
Yeah, I think so.
And the spite house, the legend is it was built by, now I thought I wrote it down. I didn't. It was built by someone that was angry with the other person. They only had this slice of land and they built the house so that they wouldn't have the view.
Yeah, it was two brothers, and one got mad that the other one joined the Confederacy in the war, in the Civil
That's
War.
what it was. Yeah.
So when he came back, he had purchased the other brother had purchased the property, and built like a house like next to it, so to spite him, basically.
He built this skinny house that obstructs his view.
Yes.
And the house, the spite house, ends on an alley, and 4 feet across the break is another start of row houses. And it just so happens that Matthew lives in the house across the alley. So Athena has nowhere else to go. She has nowhere to live. She's not super close to her parents. So she bought this real estate that was supposed to be a wedding gift because this is what Johnny wanted. She has no money, no job. So she moves into the spite house between the two brothers. And that
Yes.
is the setup.
Yes, and then not only is she's left without a wedding or anything else, and then Johnny actually goes on their honeymoon. So he's not there.
He's not there, but Matthew is. And as we learn about Matthew, we learn his life is not easy. And I do like, so we really, as the book unfolds, you question Matthew and his integrity and the choices that he makes. But then as we learn about his character, Olivia Dade was very smart in share the way she unravels his secrets.
Yeah, I think that was done really well because you don't understand it, but it like slowly plays out.
Yeah. And he has a very painful backstory, so much loss, so much grief. And it really has defined who he is and the
Oh,
choices he makes.
100%. Yeah.
And I think a little bit he's jealous of Johnny because he likes Athena.
Yeah, I mean, and I think he likes Athena, and then also too, I think he's just jealous of Johnny because Johnny got to be a kid. Johnny got to like grow up and have, certain, things that Matthew didn't get to experience because Matthew was taking care of Johnny.
Well, and Matthew is incredibly judgmental. And he was really a struggle. But again, the way Olivia develops him and we learn who he is and we learn that connections have been difficult for him because of the past, he does kind of win your heart.
He does. And I think too, I think she was smart showing another side of him in the beginning before he knows who Athena is.
Yeah.
Because you like him in that instance, or I did anyway. And
Yeah.
so I think it was smart to do that. It made you kind of like angry and not understand why he was being the way he was being afterwards. But I
Yeah.
think it played out really well the way she did it.
One of the things that I think was really profound in this book was the acts of service. Like, if acts of service are your love language, then you need to read this book.
Yeah, this book is definitely for you.
It really dives into caring without controlling.
Yes, and without judgment.
Yeah. And Athena herself, I think she's just so quirky and fun, and I could relate to her so much as she is trying to figure out her emotions. She's not oblivious to her depression order of the other, you know, instances or issues that she has. I mean, she's been working on it. Just things haven't lined up for her.
No, I mean, and I think that's what makes her so relatable because, like, there were so many instances I was like, this is me. And I think that a lot of people can read this and see, like, a bit of, like, themselves or, you know, just maybe like a feeling or a thought that she has. I think she's like a really well-rounded character and is just extremely relatable.
And even like this is her lowest of low moments, right? She has no job. She's been dumped. She's living between two men she believes don't love her and hate her. But she isn't hopeless.
No, she's not.
You know, she's like, I'm gonna make it work. She goes to work at the bakery and, you know, is working to make things better for herself as best that she can.
Yeah, and she has somewhat of a plan, you
Yeah.
know, to at least, you know, to try to figure it out. It may not be fleshed out, but she has a plan.
So I think if Matthew had not been the cause of the breakup, he would have been a swoony, over-the-top book boyfriend.
Yeah.
But,
Yeah, the it was rough. Like that was.
and I mean, he was willing to do, he was willing to sacrifice again for his brother in the end. But in a way, it didn't fully. I felt like breaking Johnny and Athena up went against his true nature. Like, I had a hard time reconciling it.
Yeah, because it came across as very selfish.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he says that it's because, you know, that she, you know, he didn't deserve her or whatever, but, you know, he's attracted to Athena. He also thinks it's going to be a burden on him because he's the one that's financially responsible for Johnny. So it all seems like a very selfish motive, and he's not selfish at all.
Yeah, so there just was this hard, you know, there was a disconnect. It was hard for me to connect all of them together. And that's where I think it went off a little bit for me because there's a super great scene. I mean, the man did things for a whole hour. A whole hour.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't want it for a whole hour. That's a lot.
yeah, it was.
I'm like, who wants that for a whole hour?
No. Yeah.
It's a
Yeah,
lot.
that was a long scene.
I will
But
say, he is a dedicated man.
extremely dedicated. Yeah.
And he's funny. Like his virginity is, you know, he kind of is funny about it.
Yeah, he is.
He tries to be
Yeah.
suave. He is not suave.
He's not.
But yeah, he wasn't, and he was not the typical. Olivia Dade tends to give us kind of cinnamon roll heroes.
Yeah, and I wouldn't classify him as a
No.
cinnamon roll.
He's an
No.
asshole.
He's good. Yeah, I don't know. Like, he doesn't fit into any one box, I don't think.
No, I agree. I agree, not at all. So did you have a favorite scene?
There were a lot. I had a lot of favorite scenes, but honestly, like, I think it was the murder dolls.
Oh.
I just thought that was hilarious.
That was pretty
Like,
funny.
I mean, a lot of my favorite scenes were funny, you know, considering I'm questioning whether or not it was a rom-com, but I felt like a big, deep, like my heart just like was wrenching for good portions of this book. So I was like, is it a rom-com? But
There
the
was
murder dolls are funny.
big emotion in this book. There was really big emotion. And I think anytime we kind of topics like depression, and we see the true nature of how depression played out for this character, especially if it is similar to ways that maybe you or someone you loved has also, you know, dealt with depression. It takes away the funny moments. Because, like, that audiobook scene was hilarious.
Yeah. It was so funny. That's another really great thing. Is that your favorite scene, or did you have another one?
Actually, my favorite one is I pulled the quote because I thought it was so funny. Matthew says, "Athena, sweetheart, boasting herself to her tiptoes, she plants a kiss on his chin. Yes. How would a man of vast experience say this? Lift your skirt," he said, "low and quiet, please."
Yes.
It was sweet, but it was also kind of like a man of vast experience. Yeah. I just thought it was funny. I don't think this is my favorite Olivia Dade. I think 40 Love still wins. Because there, again, she does like a hero that gives acts of service. You know, if we look at the different, so that is something that's in common with all her other books. The plus size rep is always phenomenal.
Yeah, I thought that was really well done.
She's short and squat and cute, and it's done really well. The sexy time scenes are described in a way that work, you know.
Yeah.
That you know that she has rolls and a soft, squishy stomach and thighs, and she's not put in a position that no woman above a size 8 can get into. So I do appreciate that. I mean, it's a really good, solid read. I think it's much better than the last couple that we got out of the Hollywood series. I just feel like Matthew is my hang up.
Yeah, and I can see that. I mean, it just, like you said, his whole first couple of situations where he, you know, gets Johnny to not marry her just kind of seem out of character. So I was looking at it more as like maybe he was finally like going after something for himself.
Maybe. But
I totally get it.
I don't love Johnny.
No, honestly, my first thought was this could have been written just without him. Like,
yeah,
the two of them being neighbors or something and having like some other kind of situation. Yeah, I don't like Johnny.
Yeah. So I'm not sure who's going to be next in the series.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how she builds this world.
I hope it's the baker.
That's who I'm hoping it is also. I just don't realize what other characters there could be.
Yeah, I think unless one of the other couples breaks up or something, or they'll have to bring somebody new to town.
And the town is adorable. Like you said, the town is a character itself in this book. There's a history to the town. The townspeople are funny and quirky.
There are cute, like, animals. There's an emotional support chicken. Yeah. I mean, there's, you know.
You're always happy when there's a chicken, aren't you?
Yeah, it's adorable. I like it. I don't want it in, you know, person, but I like it in a book.
You like it in a book. Yeah. Yeah, it was good. I just, like I said, Matthew was my hard piece.
Yeah, I can see that.
Anyway, Amanda, thanks for reading At First Spite.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. Until next time, everyone, happy reading.
Find us on Instagram at @BuzzingAboutRomance or on Twitter at @BuzzingRomance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.